Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running to our third and final hour here of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show.
Yes.
Here on WWL, Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. I'm Christian Garrick. We are in front of the Athletic Administration building on the campus of LSU on North Stadium Drive. And Herb is, I guess, mimicking some fishing. Are you doing? Oh, you got to pull out your wallet for your debit card, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you fish? That's how Herb fishes. Fishes with plastic.
Yes, would that be debit or credit?
We had some fun talking about that last week. I thought about that quite a bit because I'm actually trying to plan a trip to actually go fishing with my cousin, perhaps on Monday. So I was thinking about you. I was like, maybe I could just bring Herb some fish instead of having him go to a supermarket and buy the fish.
I'll take it.
Because my cousin right now, what he showed me in the last couple of trips, Mark.
Was that the trout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I showed you last time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they're limiting out on trout right now. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, the wind is right at the very good point. And then the temperature is where it need to be. The tide was a little bit off. I'm not sure what I'm saying, but I know one thing. The temperature is always 65 when I walk in the Rouse.
You don't have to worry about the tide.
Oh, the tide, nothing.
The pressure, the barometric pressure.
Sometimes the tide is a little up or down because it may be raining, but I don't know.
That's how Herb.
I like it, baby.
Puts fish in his freezer.
But I will tell you this: I will go fishing with Nikki Safwell any day of the week.
There you go.
There you go.
Former LSU Tiger as well.
Hey,
I didn't realize last week how big he was until he came up here.
I told you he was a big guy, man.
How old is he? 6'6"?
6'6", 6'5", something like that.
And he's every bit of 270.
Yeah, he's big. He's big. He looks great too, man. He looks like he can go out there and play right now today.
We're sitting here talking, having the debate about LSU and Ohio State, number one, number two, and again, the resumes are good for both squads. But if you look at Alabama's schedule, and now that's something that you could pick at all day long. This is the fifth ranked team in the country out of conference. Look at their schedule.
Yeah,
out of conference,
just out of conference.
Duke, New Mexico State. Southern Miss. Let's see. Where's another one? I'm trying to find an out of WCU.
Western Carolina.
Western Carolina University. That's their out of conference schedule. So if you're going to pick at, if there's one team that's sitting there on the fringe and you go strength of schedule, why is Alabama at five? I'm sure if I looked up Utah, in fact, I will.
I think Alabama is at five because
they're one loss, and it's to LSU.
The one loss to LSU, and it's the Nick Saban effect, right?
No, sure.
It's his pedigree, where he's come from, who he is, and where he's going. So I think that it's just the level of what they've been as a program.
Yeah, I just think that the schedule of Alabama year in and year out has gotten increasingly more cream puffy, if you will, out of conference. It's just kind of been that way because I think Nick Saban knows that. I think Nick Saban knows that. As long as, even if he has one loss, and if it's to an opponent like an LSU in the SEC that's in the top four or five, then he can go, I can still make an argument for my team to get into the playoffs. I mean, we've seen him do it before.
Which is why he said what he said last week, when he said that Auburn would be the best team that he's facing.
Yeah.
Because he's saying that just for the committee.
Sure.
He's not saying that because he really means that. You know, he knows that. He's saying it for two reasons. For the committee to get all hyped about it, right? And for two, to make sure his kids know that this is a very important game.
Yeah, right now against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, it is number five Alabama, three, number 15 Auburn, zero.
Yep.
Keep you posted. And, of course, Ohio State dispatched Michigan, that school from the north, earlier today.
What's
so
the final
the rivalry
score?
Weeks, I got to pull you know? It up right now. It's not the main one on the on the ticker here. So let me scroll down. And it was 56-27, Ohio State over Michigan.
So how many teams has LSU beaten 50-something to 20-something? And then people were harping on how bad our defense was, right? So here we are. We're in the same position right now. And I guarantee you no one will say that Ohio State's defense was played horrible today.
Gave up 27 points to Michigan.
You know?
But they're 13th-ranked Michigan. And just like so a big part of it was Auburn earlier in the year. Auburn's offense wasn't thought to be that high, wasn't thought highly of, and they put up 20 against LSU.
But Auburn was not ranked 13th either. They were ranked 7th or 8th or whatever it was. So they were better than Michigan, so they were supposed to put up points. You would think that they would at least make the game, challenging for LSU, which they did. And in my opinion, Auburn probably has the best defense in the country. See, but that front seven that they have, these guys are just men amongst boys. And we handled them. We did very well by playing those guys.
Now, you can look at LSU's schedule and maybe pick it apart as well. Georgia Southern for the opener. I get it. Northwestern State. But that's a
– Wait. We played Georgia Southern for – no.
No. Yeah, the opener.
Was that the opener?
Yeah, Georgia Southern was the opener.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay.
It was the following week.
Oh, then we played Texas, yes.
Yeah, the following week it was Texas. I get it. And then Northwestern State. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to pick that apart, LSU and Coach Ed Orgeron take an approach, and a lot of the in-state schools really appreciate this from Coach O, is getting them an opportunity to get a payday.
Let's not go out of state and grab these guys all the time, right?
Yeah, let's if we're going to play somebody that's way inferior to us, let's do it with somebody in the state, a school that we can help. And, oh, by the way, Ed Orgeron went to Northwestern State, so of course he wants to try to help out the school he went to while he's coaching the school of his dreams, the team of his dreams. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so outside of the conference, you would say, oh, Georgia Southern, Northwestern State, Utah State. Well, first off, Utah State's got a quarterback that's going to play on Sunday.
He's going to be probably a mid-round kid.
So he could be a second or third-round draft pick.
Yep.
So who's really defensively given LSU some problems?
Now, let's take it to here. Okay, so LSU played Texas. Alabama played Duke. That's the two major out-of-conference teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas was supposed to be back this year.
Right.
But we all see that they're not back.
Ha-ha, Texas.
Right. Duke
if I had the emoji, the crying face emoji, that's what I would play right now.
And Duke was never back.
No.
So, you know what I'm saying? Now, I know they scheduled these games 3 and 4 years ago or whatever, but at the end of the day, everybody knows Duke is not going to beat Alabama. They're not going to come in and challenge it. So you should play an Oregon or somebody like that, like Auburn did. But then you continue to go down the schedule.
Number eight, Florida, put up 28 against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
LSU was favored by 14 in that game.
Florida's a good team.
You're right. And defensively, they're pretty strong. That's number eight, Florida.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You would expect a number eighth ranked team to come in and compete and score some points against any defense.
Right.
Now, are we trying to sell you on the idea, and I think we would agree, that LSU's defense is not better than Georgia's? We're not saying that. Mm-hmm. Their front four is not better than Auburn's. But as a team, they certainly are better than both of those teams.
Right, correct. As a team.
And football is a total team sport.
Offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, so I think that.
And coaching as well.
Yeah, I think that this whole idea of, oh, well, they're giving up 20 points or 24 points, they're scoring a ton.
That's what
you can ultimately, Herb, say, all right, as a defense, if you just hold them under 25 points, you're not going
to
lose.
You got a chance to win. And that's what I was saying the other day, and you said it yourself. You're like, well, are these guys on defense just kind of lulled to sleep because they're watching the offense play so well? And they're like, okay, don't worry about it, the offensive score. But at the end of the day, I think that the defense that we have has done nothing short of play really, really well in situational football when needed. They've gotten off the field when needed. They've gotten turnovers when they've needed to get turnovers. They've gotten sacks. When they need to get sacks, they made big plays when they need to make them. That's what you need. You just need to make the plays when they count. If you can make one more play than the opponent and score one more point than the opponent, then you're definitely going to win.
Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, it's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Auburn, a 7-yard touchdown run.
Yep.
Over Alabama right now, 7-3 in the Iron Bowl.
I like it.
I'd like to see another kick six. Kind of. I want to see Alabama fans melt down and just have this cry fest, where they lose a game in shock and stunned.
I think in this particular game, they can lose it any kind of way, and they'll feel shocked and stunned.
Yeah, look, if they lose to Auburn, they're done.
They're out. They're out.
They're not going to be in the playoffs.
No.
And I think that, you know what? I think that's healthy for college football. It really is. I think there's some Alabama fatigue going on. And I think that that permeates perhaps into the college football selection committee, is that they're kind of tired of the whole Alabama thing, being in there, Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson. I think it's healthy for college football. What makes the NFL so popular?
So
parity.
So here's the thing about that. I think that
– or the illusion thereof.
If that's the case, then, you know, Nick Saban's a great coach. Everyone knows that. We don't dispute that. If they win and they get there, great. You got to stop them.
Huh?
The one team that I can say that to me is becoming that is Clemson. They have no formidable foe in their conference at all. Like, there's no one that literally – they have to play a horrible game like they did against North Carolina to even come up being close to losing. There's no one that can beat them. They are an SEC team, in my opinion, that plays in the ACC or whatever the conference is. So those guys
like
are never going to not be in the Final Four. I'm gonna tell you that right now. There may be one year that they come up short because they lose to whoever because they play a great game and everybody rushed the field, right? But on a continuous basis, they're gonna be there year in and year out. I promise you.
Auburn 7, Alabama 3, 2:07 in the first quarter of the Iron Bowl. Scores elsewhere around college football. Minnesota and Wisconsin just underway in the second quarter. Minnesota, number 8, Minnesota leads number 12, Wisconsin 7-0. Penn State on top of Rutgers, number 10. Penn State 7-3, number 16 Notre Dame tied with Stanford at 7 apiece. Ohio State earlier made short work of Michigan, 56-27. How much longer do you think Jim Harbaugh is up there in Ann Arbor?
I mean, he's what, 0-5, 0-4 right now against Ohio State? I don't know. I mean, he's just not doing well, and I don't know why. I can't pinpoint it. He was a great coach before this hire. Like, literally, I guess that was his third or fourth year in the 49ers is where the decline started for me. And I don't know what happened to him, but maybe 1 year. I'll give him next year, and that's it. If he doesn't beat Ohio
State, I think he's gone. He's going to leap back to the NFL this year.
I can see that.
And you know where I could see him potentially going? Cincinnati.
Then he'll pick
Joe Burrow.
And then what do you think then at that point? What do you think?
Yeah, look, first off, they just hired Zach Taylor, the Bengals did. Why? Because he was the guy I was just talking about that had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay. He was on Sean McVay's staff, I think, as the passing game coordinator for 1 year. And I think, though, if the Bengals go 0-16, you're cleaning house. You have to. You cannot allow that to continue. I don't think Zach Taylor is ultimately going to be the head coach if Cincinnati ends up 0-16. That's why do you think they benched Andy Dalton and are now bringing him back? They wanted to see who the future was, but also now Zach Taylor knows, I got to do something to win a game.
Correct. Now, I'm going to tell you where I think Jim Harbaugh is losing at. He's been passed up. His time and his era of what his offense is no longer. It's the Les Miles effect. He hasn't changed, hasn't done anything different since Stanford, right? Since his years at Stanford. And I think that that's what's causing his setback, his inability to be able to keep up with teams like Ohio State. They're going to score 50. You got to score 52. If you can't stop them, right, you're not going to score 50 if you're in the I formation. I'm sorry, you're just not going to do it. So I think that's what's really, truly holding him back. And then, like you said, even if he runs to the NFL, how good will he be? His brother is great. His brother has learned to adapt. He's hired the right people around him, and he's made moves that Jim Harbaugh was actually doing before his brother was.
How about Lamar Jackson? How good is that dude?
Oh, he's video game good, right? He's the created player on a video game.
Yes.
Good. That's how good he is. And I was watching something, and they were talking about, will it sustain? Will it do this? And forget that. What about the now? If he can win a championship now, this year, I don't think Baltimore cares if he's going to do it 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, the shelf life is not as high,
right,
or not as long on mobile quarterbacks like that. His style of play, we saw it with Mike Vick. But in today's day and age, in the NFL, and the rules that prohibit you from how much you can touch the quarterback – I think it prolongs his career more so than Mike Vick's.
I do too, but I think they're two different players. Though Michael Vick was a lot smaller than what Lamar Jackson is, and then Lamar Jackson actually is a tougher player. Like, you know what I mean? Like Mike used to get hit hard all the time and be down for a while.
Yeah.
Whereas Lamar does, he knows how to get tackled and take hits and to restrain his body so that it doesn't affect him. I'm not going to say that he's a better passer just yet. What I will
at this stage of his career, I think he is better than Mike Vick.
Well, what I will say is that he has a better system that fits him, that allows him to look as if he's a better
Fair.
Passer.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by that. So with that being said, I think that the kid is great, man. He's going to be doing this for the next 5 to 8 years, right? And then he starts to tail off, I think. A normal quarterback, let's say normal, and I say normal, a drop-back quarterback who doesn't run often, his shelf life is long. There's normally somewhere between 10 and 12 years, something like that. Drew Brees,
if you're the
Tom
elite,
Brady.
You're the exception. Those guys are
the exception. Those guys, you know, even Phillip Rivers, those guys are exceptions to the rule, right? But, you know, it's fun to watch, and it's great for the league. And not only just him, you got, you know, the kid at Kansas City, Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes.
You got Kyler Murray doing some special things over in Arizona. Then you got Deshaun Watson doing some things in Houston. So it's fun to see the transition of the league.
It is. I do think, though, with Baltimore, if you're looking at them, you're going, well, how does anybody beat them? Same thing with San Francisco, I think. And I know we're getting a little off track because we're getting away from college football, but just for a moment. It's kind of in my blood. I got to talk a little on the NFL.
I got you.
So the 49ers and Ravens, I think, are constructed similarly. We're going to find out just how good
tomorrow,
just how good the 49ers are, and likewise the Ravens, because I think highly of both of those teams. To beat them, I think this is what has to happen. You have to get off to a fast start and get them throwing the football, get out of their game plan, because Baltimore and San Francisco,
they
want to establish the run first thing. So if you can get a stop or two early, put them down by 10 points, 14 points, I think that's the most advantageous position you can be in, where you can put them. Because Lamar Jackson is a good passer, a good quarterback. He's accurate. But as you well know, Herb, when you don't have to respect the run as much, being an accurate passer becomes a little bit more challenging.
Yep.
So I think that's ultimately, if you're going to lay out a path to victory, that's what you're going to have to do. Stop them early and go down and score right away. Put them down 10 to 14 points early in the ballgame. Kind of get them out of their game plan a little bit.
I think that's exactly what you do, but how you do it.
I don't know.
You know, because I'm going to tell you, one of the masterminds in the game could not do it in Bill Belichick a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, as far as stopping Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore Ravens, that's very difficult. Now, the 49ers is a little bit different because, you know, Garoppolo is not running the football. So that element is not there. So, like you said, if you can stuff the run early and force Garoppolo to be able to make plays with his arm early and often, I think you can come up with a win. So I think that would be Coach Payton's game plan next week, or Dennis Allen's game plan next week when we play the 49ers.
Alabama leads now 10-7 over Auburn in the Iron Bowl. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Coming up next, we go behind enemy lines with Mark Passwaters covering Texas A&M for Rivals.com here on WWL.
You know, that they lost, 19-13 looking at the Aggies. But the one thing I know has to frustrate A&M fans, the struggle to run the ball consistently. Look, been held to fewer than 90 yards 4 times. I mean, that's somewhat surprising. And then almost an embarrassing, -1 on 20 attempts. In that 19-13 loss at Georgia. So what is your take on that? And to help out, because you might think, well, we have the right quarterback in Kellen Mond, but we got to help him out with running the football.
Well, there's no doubt that if A&M's going to beat LSU or they're going to keep that game close, they've got to run. And what they ran into last weekend was two things. One, the elements made it a run-only game for the first half. And then second, Georgia just has an outstanding run defense. That's the best front A&M has seen. And if you take a look at that the competition they've played, that's saying a whole lot. They're just really, really good. A&M has been hit or miss in the running game. I mean, shoot, before -1, they racked up 319 against a good front in South Carolina. So you know, they've been very inconsistent. The offensive line has been the big disappointment of the year, and it's cost them some ball games. So they want balance. They've got to run the football if they're going to beat or compete with LSU, because they want to keep that, you know, that LSU offense off the field. So it's going to be key again Saturday night, especially if the weather is as bad as they're anticipating.
Mark, when you look at the Aggies' schedule, it's pretty impressive. They match up against Clemson earlier in the year, Auburn, albeit they lost both. Alabama, they lost that one. But they're competing against teams that the College Football Selection Committee and others think pretty highly of.
And, you know, Mark, is that acceptable that the Aggie fan base, 0-4 against top 10 opponents, going into the matchup with LSU? Is that like they said, well, look who we play, and even though we 0-4 are – you'd expect at least a win or two, maybe, right?
Well, you take a look at it. They're younger and less experienced than those quality teams that they've played. You played Clemson week two. They were still finding, you know, out what they had. They lose their starting running back, Jashaun Corbin, early in that game. So you're thrust in with Isaiah Spiller, a true freshman, and that was a problem. The game that they should have won, without question, was Auburn. They should have beaten that Auburn team.
Right.
They're better than that Auburn team, and they just let that game slip away. And that, you know, lapse, it's inexcusable. That game should have been won. Alabama, you know, Tua was playing the best football of any quarterback I've ever seen stroll into Kyle Field that wasn't named Manziel. I mean, it was quite remarkable. And then this weekend, you know, arguably – A&M had the better of it, especially in the second half, and the officiating was just abysmal. And I hate to sit there and blame anything on the referees, but if you take a look at what happened in that ball game, the Aggies have a very good argument that the SEC officials and not Georgia beat them last Saturday. They played a good competitive game. The defense was solid. Mon played well. You know, they just had some things go against them that fundamentally altered the course of that football game.
Mark, I want to humor me, if you will, please. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll on our website at WWL.com. Who's the biggest turkey of the year in sports? Is it Cleveland Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett, head of NFL officiating Al Riveron, the College Football Selection Committee, ESPN reporter Ramona Shelburne, or Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, or perhaps even Antonio Brown?
Well, oh, wow, that's really tough. Shelburne's making a great run here with what she printed today. And I can't stand Jerry Jones. So, oh, wow. What was the last one? Because I think that might have been it.
Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah, it's Antonio Brown. I mean, it's got to be. You know, he's a clown among clowns.
Yeah, he cost himself millions. Come on. If you're looking out for your family, come on. You got to play the game. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean, when you work your way out of $40 million, there's no question. You're the loser.
Mark, fill in the blank here. Texas A&M beats LSU if?
They dominate time of possession. You know, that's what it's got to be. They've got to play a way that they did against South Carolina. If you take a look at that game, they got a lot of pressure on Ryan Helinski. They didn't necessarily sack him, but they got him off his mark, frustrated him, got in his head. But more importantly, they held the ball for 42 minutes. They ran when they needed to. Mond was very good managing the game, was very accurate with his passes, but basically they just strangled the time of possession. They did not allow South Carolina to do anything. If they're able to do that against anybody, they've got a shot, but that's what they must do against LSU.
Now, Mark, I told Christian this. I'm intrigued with your last name because I said, how can you get Hebert out of Hebert? I'm looking at Mark Passwaters. I mean,
this is a big topic of conversation.
No,
Mark.
I was like, man, that's an awesome name, Passwater. So right? You got to enlighten me about that.
Okay, it's Native American. It's from the Delmarva Peninsula.
I told Bobby that
back on the East Coast. Yeah, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. There's some Passwaters there. It's originally from the Natticoke Indian tribe, which decided that they would try to talk to the white man instead of fight him, and now they're up near Montreal.
Awesome.
So you know. Yeah, but that's where it came from, and you wouldn't know it looking at my blonde hair and pale skin, but, you know, it goes all the way back some 300 years.
Mark, I told Bobby before we had you on, I was like, that looks like a Native American name.
No, like, and I was so intrigued because I'm a historian, and I said, well, that's a unique name. I love that, Passwaters.
Well, it certainly gives a great opportunity for people to poke fun at you should they want to. But, you know, I've had it now for a while, so I think I'll keep it.
Passing some waters and all that good
stuff.
Yeah,
without
a doubt. I'm sure you had some fun. Mark, what's the Thanksgiving Day dish, aside from turkey, the side dish, your favorite you can't go without?
Oh, green bean casserole, no doubt. I mean, I
love
that.
You cut out, what'd you say?
Yeah, green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole, okay.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Outside of that, cornbread casserole is good. You know, basically, if you put anything that's not sweet potatoes in front of me, I'm good.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a big sweet potato fan. I mean, I like sweet potatoes if you bake them, but I don't know. If you get too exotic with them, I can pass on them.
My wife's sitting here poking me in the shoulder going, no, you're wrong.
You know, Mark, I'm going to leave you with this tidbit. And, you know, everyone wants the hot coach and who's available. I look at Coach O. You know, it's crazy. We're talking about heritage and all that. You know, Coach O's dad and my, on my mom's side, my grandmother were first cousins. Him and I won the state championship in 77. He's my college roommate. But Coach O, if he can win more games, and that'd be 15, if they can run the table, win the championship, look at Jimbo Fisher at A&M. Currently, he's at 7 wins. Tom Herman of Texas, 6? He would have more wins than those two cats combined, considering all the Tiger fans. We need Jimbo Fisher. We need Tom Herman. Boy, when you look at what have you done for me lately? Boy, talk about riding high on the hog. How can you not mention Coach O where he's at compared to even where Jimbo Fisher or Tom Herman right now?
Well, here's the thing. I think that A&M is on the way up. I think that Jimbo and Coach O are going to have some great, great games. You know, shoot, they've already had one. They may have another on Saturday. You know, A&M's schedule is very, very favorable in 2020. They could come into the LSU game 11-0 or 10-1. They're going to be that good. The schedule is that simple. You know, you dump Clemson for Colorado. You dump Georgia for Vandy. You got Abilene Christian on there. You know,
hello.
Shape up really nice for A&M. Now, on the other hand, what's your excuse, Tom Herman? You're in the easiest conference in college football, and you have great recruiting classes, and you have 6 wins. So all I got to say is there are people in both Baton Rouge and College Station who have one thing in common. They're thanking God they didn't hire Tom Herman.
Who that?
Mark Passwater, covering the Texas A&M Aggies for Rivals.com. Have yourself a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, gentlemen. You too.
All right, behind enemy lines brought to you by Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Who Dat Nation. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
Winding down here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Before we push out of here, I want to thank a few folks. On-site engineer Dominic Mitchum, David Potter back at Master Control, and also Casey Wainwright out here as our account executive. And last but not least, our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. Thanks for all the folks that put in a lot of hard work to help us throughout the show. 10-10 in the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama tied. 10-10. I want to see some gunk tears because they would cry losing to Auburn. They would definitely cry.
They will cry. And they will be crying today after they lose to Auburn.
Yeah, of course.
I'm calling it.
Former LSU and current Saints offensive lineman Will Clapp steps away, getting ready to take in this matchup between LSU and Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see the alumni come back.
Very proud of him.
It's always
man.
Special.
Look, very proud of him. He's, you know, he's not starting on the offensive line, but he played, like you said, he's playing 23 snaps a game, and that's pretty good, man. That's really good.
Yeah, part of that.
And doing very well too.
Yeah, he's part of that jumbo package. It fits Will Clapp quite well, and former LSU Tiger.
One of these days, he's gonna catch a pass too, touchdown.
He might.
Watch.
He bleeds purple and gold. That dude loves.
Well, his
LSU.
Dad played here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to him. He was joking. He's one of the honorary captains tonight, and I think Eric McCoy, Saints center, is here as well. And he was joking when he said this, but he said he told McCoy on the way back from Atlanta on the flight, he's like, dude, when you see me on the field Saturday, we're not friends. So
that's true. Well, you know, McCoy played in the game last year.
Yeah, he played against Texas A&M.
Last year.
He played for Texas A&M. That's just if you've ever been in an NFL locker room, they talk more trash about college football than they talk about anything else.
Of course, because that's what's unique to them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no matter where they go.
They're proud of their schools. They're proud of where they went. And there's a lot of trash talking in that locker room week in and week out. If Purdue is playing Ohio State, you can rest assured Ted Ginn Jr., Marshawn Lattimore, or Mike Thomas is going to say something to Drew. If Ohio State's playing LSU, you can rest assured that Will Clapp's going to get his trash talk in on the Ohio State Buckeye players.
Look, hopefully coming up soon, Sean will get a few more of these LSU corners or something in.
So 17-10, Auburn takes the lead over Alabama in the Iron Bowl. 5:36 remaining in the second quarter in that one.
The second Tigers in the SEC are going to win it.
The second Tigers?
Yeah.
The other Tigers?
Yeah.
Final thoughts on today's game, man.
You know, once again, like I said, I think LSU's defense is going to come out pumping. I think they want to make amends. They want amends to from last year. They don't want to give up 74 points. I think, like you said, they're going to come out fast, strong, and really playing a dominant game on the defensive side. And I think Joe Burrow is going to continue to make his case as a Heisman Trophy winner. And then I want to see Clyde run the ball really well as well. I think he's going to do a phenomenal job. And I think LSU covers, man. I really do.
17 points.
I think they cover the 17. I think this is going to be a huge game for us. We're finally playing at night again, right? Finally. And then this is a big game for us. So I see us covering this game. I definitely see it.
Tigers are favored by 17. Yep. Over and under is 64. Look, I'm bad at predictions, but even I can get this one right. LSU wins this game. I don't know if they cover, and I don't really care. I can tell you, though, that Kellen Mond and this Aggies offensive attack is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be problematic early on. I think, though, that Dave Aranda is going to have some adjustments for them, and I think this is probably a game where Dave Aranda might show them something that they hadn't put on tape yet. Okay. So,
at the Bow Wednesday.
All right. So, basically, I think that Dave Aranda is going to have the adjustments and show them something they haven't seen quite yet from LSU.
Correct.
In this game tonight. And I think the Aggies are certainly capable and will score some points. But like I said, unless Texas A&M holds LSU to under 20 points, they're not beating this team. And as long as LSU doesn't turn the ball over, commit silly penalties, and make a bunch of mistakes, they'll beat this team.
I don't see Texas A&M holding LSU up to under 20
points. Me neither.
I don't see it at all.
Me neither.
I think they're going to maybe even come close to tripling 20 points.
Yeah, I think you could see a ball game in the score of 44, in the range of 44 to 24.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that's in the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that does it for us.
Yes,
our season finale. We'll be back, though. We are doing a pregame show, Tiger Tailgating, Gulf Coast Tiger Tailgating Show, next week ahead of the SEC Championship game, LSU and Georgia. That'll be a fun one. LSU hasn't been in a conference title game in quite some time. That's going to be a lot of fun. Herb, it was always fun hanging out with you.
Yes, sir.
I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Herb, do your thing, man.
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to everybody. Watch the Tigers tonight. And go Tigers. We love you all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.